It's not unusual for me when I'm going to teach, all of a sudden I get another scripture, which obviously is not going to be on the screen, so you're going to get this scripture. And the scripture is Revelation 12, 11. They triumphed over him, the evil one, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The evil one just got destroyed this morning by the word and testimony of so many different people. He is victorious. We encourage one another by those testimonies. The title of my teaching is, do you have an abundant life? Do you have an abundant life? We've heard evidence of people's lives. An abundant life is one that is where you have a testimony to be able to give to others about what God's done in your life. That God is showing up in your life, that you're seeing and you have evidence in your own life that you will be able to share with others what he's doing. And in that, others may be given an opportunity to come to know him, or another believer may be encouraged that I can go another day. John 10, 7 through 12, and I'll see if I can read it from up there. This is new for me. I'll read it here. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I'll stop there for now. In the same scripture, he's letting you know he's the door. He's the door. We're in the sheep pen with him. He's the gate. And when we go on out, we're going out through him. File that away. That's your life. So when you leave your home, you're leaving your pen, your home, and you are going out into the world, and he's the door. Now, he's also the good shepherd, so that means he goes with you, which is a big thing, which is the most important thing. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He is wanting to give us the abundant life. When he shows up in our life and we allow who he is in us to be seen by the world, we are demonstrating the abundance of life that he's given to us. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep. He knows you. He knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's going to be on your plate for the day. And he's going with you. And do you know him? It's a choice that you make. Are you pursuing to know him in the day-to-day? It is true, and we sang the song, that the Lord will leave the 99 to go and find the one. Many of you have testimony of that, that you once walked with him, then you didn't, and then he found you again, and now you're back. That's who he is, but there are many others that are out there waiting for you to reveal him in you to them. We don't need to make this complicated. You don't have to follow the Romans road. You have a testimony that you can share with people. I set out to do that, but there was no need to. I asked the young woman, how are you doing? And I thought she wasn't doing good. She was doing fine, okay? But I stepped out because it's what I heard the Lord tell me to do. Okay, so I did my little part. The Jews asked Jesus if he was the Messiah. This is John 10, 24 through 30. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And I will always fill in the definition according to Jesus. Eternal life means to know the Father and the Christ. Know who he is and what Jesus did for us. He is my Savior, my Redeemer, my Deliverer. All of that is who the Christ is, my Messiah. Eternal life is to know that and allow that to dwell within you so that you might have the abundant life and be able to give a testimony. Be confident in what God has done in your life. Now, there are other sheep. They don't know. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. There's an assurance there. Okay? Now I'm going to sidetrack that, and I don't want to lose anybody where I'm going next, so you'll have to stay with me on this, because it's part of my conversation with him. We have a thought or doctrine or whatever you want to call it out there that says once saved, always saved. And then another group that believes that you can lose your salvation. And I've looked at the arguments for both, and I'm going to give you both of them. And I asked the Father about it. Which is it? And he said, yes. Which is very much like my relationship with him. So I'm going to try to, in what I've got to share, to be able to bring some light into it and why you can have both and still one of them needs to be dominant in your life. But it's the choices that we make. What do we choose to believe? Who do we follow? Who do we allow to live their lives out? Or who do we allow to live their lives out through us? Is he leading you? And are you following him? Every day. I know, quick story. Driving down the road, I have a Jeep, automatic, so I don't need to be playing with the shifter. For some odd reason, I'm playing with the shifter, kicking into neutral. Just as a buck travels in front of my car, I knock the buck down. He gets up, gives me a dirty look. I put it back into drive and drive, no damage done to the car. He was leading me to play with my shifter. Okay? So I'm not necessarily this big, 200 people came to know the Lord. No, I just didn't damage my car and ticked off a buck and finished going to work. So I'm wanting you to be able to see the extremes of Christ in you. Allow him to lead. But what does it say? I'm sorry, Romans 10, 8 through 13. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. He's near you. He's in your mouth. Allow him to do what it is that he's wanting to do. Oh, I don't know the scriptures. I don't know this. I'm sorry, they didn't have all of the scriptures for what, the Gutenberg Bible and then Germany, whatever that date was. What did they have? Him? They had the testimonies that they heard from the apostles and all of those, but they had him in their lives. If you've given your life to him, you have the same advantage that everyone else has. You have what you need. Listen. Because if you do, it becomes abundant life. You step out of your comfort zone, and I think the next scripture goes to that. If I declare the identity, I raise him. If I declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know that he's Lord, and you're saved. Is he your Lord? Have you given him lordship? Can he do what he wants with your life? Can he tell you, go talk to that person, and you go, okay. Now, I still battle. You know, I don't like stepping out of my comfort zone. I'm not an evangelist. Believe it or not, I'm not an extrovert. The only reason I can speak now is because he's enabled me to. That's just the way it is. So I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm also very fearful right now because you are his sheep, and what I share, I want to be sure is him. So if you hear something that's off and that it is off, just throw it away. I'm trying to hear carefully. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus, okay, we've done that one. Good. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The scriptures say anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. So I can step out and not have to worry about being put to shame. Well, that's cool. It gives me a little bit more freedom. All right. And now, does that mean I don't sometimes still appear to be an idiot? Yeah, it'll still happen sometimes. Yeah. Life goes on. 1 John 5:13 through 21. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Christ. This is the confidence that we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Another way of looking at that, we can talk about the things of the physical in terms of what you're asking for, but what if it's the things more about your life? What if it's more about your life changes? There's going to be things in your life that you're going to see that just don't match. It's not the perfect character of who Christ is, and it's supposed to be demonstrated in you. So you're stopping and saying, this doesn't belong. You need to change me. Now you've asked something that I know is in accordance to his will, and watch what he does. If you knew me 40 plus years ago, I definitely wouldn't be standing here. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him abundant life. When I get free from a sin, I've traded death for abundant life. Yes, all of my sins have been covered, absolutely true, but if any of you can stand up and be perfect and you don't see anything else wrong in your life, I'll let you come, and because I shouldn't be here then. But he's still doing things in my life. I'm still seeing things. Has he done a major work within me? Ask my wife. Good answer. Okay, she didn't know she was going to be asked that. And he's done a work in you. And he is doing a work in you. That's what we call salvation. Who I am in heaven's already been established. That's done. But who I am in heaven needs to be manifested here so that the world might see the abundance of life in me and go, what's with you? And I can tell them about who it is. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. Well, that's interesting. I'll let you ask him about that. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. Wrong attitude doesn't lead to death necessarily. It's just something he's dealing with. If I walk in sin, the death that it's talking about isn't necessarily physical death. I walk in sin, and I receive death rather than life. A spouse commits adultery, their whole marriage can get disrupted and be destroyed. Death. They didn't lose everything. They didn't die. Well, all sin that you commit will lead to death one way or another, unless you repent. It will have its cycle. It will go until you come to a place where you cry out to the one who can truly set you free and allow him to do the work. It requires you to choose to do that. And if you have this discourse with him and ask him to change you and set you free from it, you go from death to life, abundant life. It's what comes about all the time. We go through tests and trials all the time. Revelation 3, 1 through 6. Now, hopefully this doesn't apply to anybody that's here. But maybe aspects of it might ring true, and you know where to go. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it, repent, and receive abundant life. I know it's not in there. I added that. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. You have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they're worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. What? It could be blotted out? Wow. Huh. It could be blotted out. Just let that rest for a bit, because we already started where we need to be. But there is something that we have to do. It's called walk with him. Have relationship with him. Matthew 7, 21 through 27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's abundant life. You're doing what the Father would have you do. That's abundant life. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? They're gifts. But that doesn't necessarily mean your walk's right. Great gifts. And at some point, you were given those gifts as a believer. And something happened. What? Or was it just a something? Is he Lord? Are you walking in him today? Today's all I got. Now, I'll remind you, yes, he will go on after the one and leave the 99. So that's a great thing, but where are you now in your walk? And he will say to them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will have abundant life. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. For everyone who hears these words of mine and does them and puts them into practice is like It's like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The first part of your walk is, are you listening for him as your day unfolds? Now, we make prayer complicated. Now, I'm not talking, you know, there's times you'll come on in and your prayer is really deep. Prayer is, right now, I'm checking with the Lord to make sure when I'm supposed to stop and when I'm supposed to go, but I'm still talking to you anyhow. So I'm in prayer now while I'm sharing what I'm sharing. But you can be at work and still be talking to him while you're having a conversation with someone. It doesn't have to be on your knees or on your face or in your special spot. Conversation with God is prayer. So while you're driving down the street, you see somebody on the street and you go, huh, interesting person. How would you have me pray for them? Then pray for them. Don't make this walk complicated. He's wanting to use you every day. You may not discover what happened. I remember a woman that I saw and prayed for every time I drove by her. She was a jogger. I have no idea what happened to her. I have nothing about her life. No, I prayed for her because every time I drive by, she says, pray for her. Okay. Don't make it complicated. Matthew 25, 1 through 10, or 1 through 12. This parable of the 10 virgins, which I think is interesting. I got new and different stuff on it than things that I've heard, so don't throw the things you've already heard away. It's just, I hadn't looked at it like that. But before I get into it, we cannot buy our salvation. There is no money to buy it. So obviously the oil that they're getting, they're not paying real currency for. And what he showed me is there's another currency that we have, and it's called our time. Our time. Do you give him the moment? At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps and did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in their jars. And I'm using oil as what the oil is an encounter with God. You have encounters with him. So because of your testimony, you've shared your testimony, you got received light that was evident, and you got more oil. Because we know already that there's scriptures that refer to, when I give away that which he's given to me, I only get that back and more. Well, that's what our walk is like. So he has divine encounters for us that may be something as simple as helping somebody with their groceries Okay, well then do that. And maybe they'll look sad and you'll go, what do you want me to say something to them? Okay, fine. And then you do. And you pray for them. And then you go your merry way. This is for every one of us. Take the opportunity that you've got now here in the land of the living. Because you will have the abundant life and you will gain more oil. And to me, most importantly, it's fun. It's fun stepping out in our comfort zone to possibly being about what he'd have me do. I mean, I say possibly because I don't always get it right. Oh, well, my hearing is being fine-tuned. Sometimes it's just to see whether I'd be obedient. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. That always fascinated me. Both the wise one and the foolish one. Oh, we have times where we're just plain tired. But is his oil enough for when you wake up? Hopefully the answer is, yeah, I got enough oil. I think I've done enough. But while they were on their way to buy oil, these are the unwise ones, the bridegroom arrived, the virgins were ready. Virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. And he replied, I tell you the truth. I don't know you. So is this a twofold thing? You can have assurance, but he's also wanting you to have abundant life. He's got things that he's wanting you to do so you receive more oil, so you don't have to worry about it. I don't know where the cutoff line is. I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I'm definitely not any part of God. I'm just allowing him to flow when I have opportunity to do so. Without excuse. I'm not an evangelist, so that's not my gifting. So I could use that as, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not going to share the gospel with some. No, wait a minute. You have testimonies. God's in your life. The church grew because everybody went out and told them about him. Not just a few. They got set free and they went, wow, I got to tell you about them. How you position yourself today determines the outcome. Abundant life is not just about the here and now. It's also for the abundant life that I'm going to have. I guess I could say the by and by. When we get there, we're going to be living someplace. What we do here will have an effect in terms of what we have there. You want a little shack? No, I don't usually spend a whole lot of time on it because I just want to be focused on doing what he'd have me do. I'm not looking for the big mansion or the whatever, and I may have one or have a nice, I'm not concerned about it, except that is a reality to the kingdom of God and what's yet to come. Do you want to live in the house of God? Okay. Or in the city? Or in the kingdom? Or just upon the earth? That's what the millennium's all about. Everyone who believes gets saved, so they didn't go to hell, but they're out there. They can still have to come to the city to give homage, I think, 3 feasts or 4 feasts. Steve would know better. But some of them are out there, some are in the city, some are in the home, and some are in his bedchamber. Interesting. I don't understand all of that. I'm not going to try and support it. It's just, it gives me an idea of what I do here matters. I don't know where I'm going to be. What I had a conversation with him concerning him and the bride. Now, you can throw this away. This is just my encounter. Do whatever you want with it. I've met people who are enamored in love with him. They absolutely love him. He's worthy of someone who loves him to that extent. I love God. I can't tell you for sure that I have that same kind of love as they do. He deserves the best. And if it's not me, and I just get to live in his home, that's okay with me. So I don't know where I'm at in this walk. All I know is I'm pursuing him, let him change my heart, and maybe at some point I may be so enamored in love that if he says, go, die for me, I'll just go and die for you. I don't know if I'm at that place now. If you're wanting to be anywhere close to that place, let him live his life out through you now. Seek after the abundant life in him. You're going to be challenged. So there is a part that we play. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, and every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that you may grow up in your salvation, that you may have tasted that the Lord is good. Abundant life. I've seen him. I've seen him move in my lives and the life of my wife as I watch her do counseling and stuff and share stuff with people. We've heard this scripture probably for the last 3, 4, maybe 5 sermons, and we're hearing it one more time. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust is a firm belief in the character, ability, strength, truth, and reliability of the Lord. You can trust in him. You can't find anyone more trustworthy than him. So if he says he's going to go with you, he'll go with you. Does that mean you're going to feel him all the time? No, but I know he's going with me. Why? Because I trust him. His word's true. So when you step across the line to step out in your uncomfortable place, he's going with you. And lean not on your own understanding. There's yeah buts. That's the wrong fruit. I call them the yeah but fruits. You don't want to eat from those. Eat the fruit of the Spirit, all right? Yeah buts don't nourish you at all. They just bring depression. He doesn't do things the way I think he's going to. Now, I'll do this because we have a relatively large crowd. Has he ever done anything in your life exactly the way you thought he was going to? I haven't found a group yet that somebody raised their hand. Why? Because he's creative. He wants to give you abundant love, abundant life, not just what you've been seeing all along. So I confidently say, it's fun. Weird, but it's fun. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Look for him. Look where you see him. And what do you get in return? Abundant life. So in your day-to-day, when you, simple thing, was driving down 158, I love birds of prey, and there's a dip just as you're coming out towards the interstate, and I saw this hawk flying. And all of a sudden, I realized he was at eye level. Well, because he was 30 feet off the ground because the dip was that deep. And I just slowed down, and he's flying next to me, and he's going. Because he knows I love birds of prey. So abundant life isn't necessarily just sharing him, it's experiencing him. In the blue moon that we just saw a couple of nights ago, in the stars themselves, in going out and catching fish. I think I've shared this before, and I'll share it again because some of you wouldn't have heard this. When I first became a believer, I got so excited because I saw he is who he is, and I used to prey upon Bible-thumping Christians, and so when I saw that Jesus is who he is, and I saw all the times he saved me, I went nuts with studying. And I got all the Greek and the Hebrew and all of this stuff and studied and studied and studied. And at the end of that time, he asked me, you know my word fairly well. I said, yeah. How much of it is in your life? Ooh. Oh. Now, I was starting to go into the depths because I've just become a believer, and now I got my first reproof, and I'm starting to go in a spiral of, oh. And then he took me to Hebrews, and it says, no longer will a man say, know the Lord, but they shall all know me from the greatest to the least, for I shall teach them myself. Well, how cool is that? So I started out in that direction. He was teaching me stuff. That's why I have stories or testimonies. Oh. So everything about him became what I was doing for him. I wasn't trying to do a works bag or anything, but I was just doing all kinds of stuff, volunteering for this and volunteering for this. And I got my next reproof, and he said to me, when you stand before my throne, and I ask you, why did you not enjoy the life that I gave to you? And I began to see going fishing was part of enjoying life. So you can do that. You can do this. You can do that. Enjoy the life that he's given to you. Just don't let it dominate your life. Wait, this one. Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 3, or 1 through 3. You know the story. The nation of Israel has been wandering around. It was only supposed to be 40 days. The purpose of a test is to show you what's in your heart. So it's just a test. So if they would have responded correctly, they might not have had to go for another 40 years. Tests are going to come in your life. Respond correctly. And it may not become a trial. Well, that's encouraging. Example. We had somebody come visit us at the house. We were going to be doing something with them. And they had some issues in their life. And she was supposed to come alone. She brought her four-year-old. Anybody know what four-year-olds are like? I didn't. Okay. And it was a little girl, and she was like all over the place. So we're trying to get information from this woman, and on and on and on and on. And it's not unusual that when we're doing what we're doing to find out where they're at with the Lord. Well, it turns out she wasn't real sure, da-da-da-da-da-da. So my wife decided, well, then we'll pray for you. So she calls her little girl. We're going to pray now, honey. And the little girl sits on. Now, you got to realize, while this sharing is all going on, the little girl's coming up to her mother and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm being tested because she specifically was not supposed to be bringing the four-year-old. So it could just be one-on-one instead of da-da-da-da-da. Oh, mommy, da-da-da-da-da. So I'm going through a major test here. I'm about saying, why don't we just stop this and we'll have another, set up another time. This is what's running through my head. That didn't happen. So instead, I worked my way through the test and she'd say, oh, maybe I should leave. And I says, no, we're fine. We can handle this. This is okay. This is okay. This happened at least a half a dozen times where interruption, da-da-da-da-da. So finally we get to a point where, why don't we pray? So she says to her little girl, we're going to pray now. The little girl comes up and sits on her lap, and my wife causes her to recommit her life to the Lord. Okay? So Lord, she, you know, my wife will say it, and the woman repeats, Lord, I give you my life. The little girl says, Lord, I give you my life. I give my life to Jesus. I give my life to Jesus. I ask that you be in my marriage. I ask that you be in my marriage. I ask that you bless my, you know, I mean, just, so while she's saying everything that she's saying, the little girl is saying. Two for one. Okay, but it's a little girl. So we get all done with that. They head to the car. I head back into our house. And I come on out in about another 5 minutes, and they're still in the parking lot. And the woman's in the back seat talking to the little girl. And I finally go on out and says, is there something wrong? And she says, well, my little girl wanted to know who Jesus was. So I explained to her. The little girl just gave her life to Jesus, and she didn't even know who he was. So she began to explain who Jesus was and everything that he had done for this little girl. It could have turned out another way if I sent him home. Tests and trials. If I sent them home, she may decide not to come back. You're going to be hit with tests and trials. Choose abundant life. I still don't like this scripture, but we'll share it anyhow. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Trials are there to show you what's in your heart. When you see what's in your heart, you can deny it, or you can do the run to the one who can set you free from it. If you run to the one who can set you free from it and work it out of your life, you get, instead of that, you get abundant life. So be joyful when you go through a trial. Because when you get to the other side, on the other end of it, if you walk it out in accordance to the way he'd have you walk it out, you get abundant life. Death, life. So don't get blown away by the trials. And then the longer you walk, it seems like the harder the trials. The greater the abundant of life, too. There are times that it seems like I'm in the other camp, or it seems like I've just messed up beyond redemption. Now I know that's not true, and technically I probably know that's not true, but sometimes it's just like, wow, really? And I always go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 24. Be joyful always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Favorite part. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord for Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So I know there's another path where I could, but I'm not going to. Why? Because I know this is true. So it may look like I've totally lost everything. My testimony at work got totally destroyed because of my own stupidity, sin. But I got reminded These two scriptures from Psalm 139, the first one, and then the one at the end, they technically say the same thing. I don't recommend having this be your daily prayer, but periodically in my walk, it will become a prayer that I will ask just because I know I could be blind. O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly. You have known me. And then 23 to 24, and I usually do this with a little sense of fear. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked or hurtful way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting, abundant life. No matter how long I walk, I never forget that sometimes the enemy is good at what he does. And I could have been sucked into believing a lie that I should have known better about myself, about someone else. I don't care what the thing is, but periodically I will go to him and say, here am I. I think the next scripture. Yep. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This one, I think pretty much one way or another, I remind myself of at some point in the day. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He goes with me. I've done my small part. Lord, it's another day. Now, maybe in the morning, maybe while I'm driving in the car, maybe later on, but I will remember that, no, Lord, this life isn't mine. I didn't just confess that he is Lord. He is my Lord. My life's not my own. What area of your life is he not Lord? Well, it's not for condemnation's sake or guilt's sake. Soberly judge yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to say, I've been trying to get at this. And you might go, not that. But he's wanting us to have abundant life in every area of our lives. Oh. Romans 12, 3 through 8. I use this one often. For by the grace given, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. That normally is not my problem. It's usually the opposite. So, yes, I'm going to add something in this scripture because the Holy Spirit did, so you can throw it away right away. So I'll read it again. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, or less than I have created you. It's changed me because I don't beat myself up as much. I usually, all I see is my stuff and don't remember constantly, thank you for Barb, confidently and constantly, the work's done in heaven and he's manifesting it here. Sometimes my test, am I the same person I was a year ago? And I can confidently say, no, he's made changes. Well, what about a month ago? Yeah, I'm not the same person. What about a week ago? No, got something from, and I'm different. I've been changed. I got something new. Maybe not yesterday to today. I haven't really evaluated it yet. The point is, I am walking with him and giving him opportunity to change me so that the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit will come on out, that I will always be gentle. We're closer. I will always be kind. We're closer. Will I always be faithful? Yeah. I give my word to someone, I'm there. That seems to be an issue with a lot of, unfortunately, I have to say this simply because it came to mind, but I found that lacking in more Christians than people in the world. You tell me you're going to be here, and you don't show. You're helping somebody move, and you don't show. You said you were going to bring something, and you didn't bring it. You said you were going to. So maybe that's some of you, so listen to him. Don't. It's just, that's what I have seen. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Good news is, at least in my walk, I've never seen him do any more than two or three things in my life at a time. The enemy might show me two dozen things that need to be changed, but God will only deal with maybe two or three. That's all you can handle, because he's wanting the work to be complete in you. He doesn't want you all over trying to change everything. Let him change the one or two, maybe three, and you can go, look what he's done, abundant life. Just as each of us has one body with many members, essentially, we've all been given gifts. We all have different things that we have that God has given to him. Do everything as unto the Lord. I have the privilege of being able to take care of my wife now with her foot out. Now, in my flesh, everything I'm doing, I don't want to do. I don't want to do all the cooking. I don't want to do dishes. I hate doing dishes. I don't want to clean the house. I don't like cleaning the house. I don't want to do all the transporting. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do any of that. But I rejoiced because it's a test. I rejoiced in the Lord. I've had a few meals that I probably should have thrown away, but we ate some of them. Oh, you heard that over there? I didn't know that. Okay, I was just talking to this side. But I'm receiving abundant life in the midst of it. Have I been completely successful? We won't ask my wife on that one. Okay, we'll go on to the... Look at that. That's why I was so missing. Okay. Look, no more pages. See? Abundant life is your choice. Now, I've argued with God over this for 40 plus years. Why did you give me choice? Why can't you just come on in and do it all? And he said, because I wouldn't have a relationship then. In the tests and trials, the stumblings and the fallings and the triumphs, there are triumphs where you could step out and you go, wow, that was really cool. You're having the relationship. I had set somebody back, and I'm closing off with this. When we just became believers, you probably didn't know this, and he accepted your first prayer, and that's how everything started in motion. When you gave him your whole life, you gave him your whole life, thinking that you were giving him your whole life and you wouldn't have to do anything because he would just do everything then. And then you find out eventually, no, now we're, what specifically are you wanting me to change? He doesn't deal real well with blanket prayers anymore. What specifically are you seeing in your life that you're wanting him to change? And he says, we can do that because now it's a relationship. Now he's not taking control over you. It's a one of mutual cooperation. I can't do it. You need to do it. Show me my part. So quite often in this, when you are come to issues in your life, there is still a part that you have to play. It's not just all of a sudden God magically goes, and you're changed. Sometimes for me, it's keep your mouth shut. So, Father, I thank you that these are your sheep. I thank you, Jesus. You are the good shepherd. Guide them, direct them. Make yourself known to them. And may you fine-tune their hearing, Holy Spirit, so that they might hear and recognize your voice and say, yes, let's go. For your glory and for your honor, amen.